Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, July the 29th, 2012.
Rise up, women of the truth. Stand and sing to broken hearts who can know the healing power.
Sing after me. I will worship.
Oh, I will worship.
Follow.
Follow.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We come before you to glorify your name, to say the names of the power and the strength that you have in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for this time we can be together as a church family. We come to you tonight with hearts of joy, hearts of thanksgiving, and we await your blessing upon our church as we look forward for this new school year and for the many ministries that are going to be beginning in the next few months. So Lord, we just need your presence. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk, and we're going to be looking at chapter 2. But I want to, before we do that, I want you to be thinking and looking in the Scripture, because we're going to be naming the name of God, and we have these microphones up here, different attributes of God, the names of God, the character of God. So I'd like for us to talk about, maybe look at what God has maybe done for you and say, yes, I understand what God has done, and he is this. He has done this, or his character has been displayed in my life in this way. And so in just a few minutes, I'm going to have you come up and start doing that. But we're going to take the lead from Habakkuk. And if you're looking at this, this passage in verse 12 of chapter 1, we understand what he's going through here, because he sees the wicked and how they are prospering, and he's saying, Lord, why are these things? He's complaining to the Lord, why are these wicked people able to do what they're doing to your people? And as we look at this, we can kind of look at what's happening to our world right now and what's happening here in America. But as we see this, we see that he starts out with the right theology. And what does he do there in verse 12? He says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? Isn't that amazing that he identifies and starts off right away with a theological viewpoint of God? And that's what we're going to do tonight. We are asking God tonight to help us to receive a direction from God for this new year. As we look at the school year that's coming up and we are focusing on the ministries here at Grace, we want to look at how God can use us and what direction that we must have. And so as we do that, we need to start off rightly, just as he did, and identify who God is in our life. And then we're going to have some time of silent prayer after we have a time of identifying who God is in our life. We will pray and thank him for being our God. So who would like to start off this evening? Much like Habakkuk did, he just started right off everlasting. He said, O Lord, my God, my Holy One. Who would like to start off? And maybe you have a favorite verse that you'd like to read that names the name of God or speaks of his attributes. Just step up to one of the mics. There's two in the balcony and three down here.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful.
God is faithful.
I'm reading my Bible through for the year. A little bit behind, but I just read this. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. That really blessed my heart.
Amen.
17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless.
I'd like to read about the omnipresence attribute of God. Psalm 139 came to my mind. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me.
Amen.
A verse that's always meant something to me, but especially in the recent days and months. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
The end of that verse that you read, verse 12 of chapter 1, Habakkuk, he calls God my rock. David calls him Jehovah Oz, God my rock. And it's the same term that's used in Daniel when he has the vision, and the rock, which is Jesus in there, crushes the idol. And I've written in my Bible by chapter 1 of Habakkuk, been there, prayed that in the 80s and the 90s.
Amen.
I could stand here and talk all night about the goodness of God, but the one aspect that has really shown me something this year from this church is God is love. Amen. And I want to thank each of you for showing me his love through this year.
God bless you, Mike.
From Psalm 91, of course the entire psalm, but the first couple of verses, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God, and in him will I trust.
Exodus 15:2-3. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name.
Our Lord, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen.
Verses, Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments.
Amen. Let's take this time, go ahead, Harris, we'll go ahead and end with Harris, and then we'll take a couple minutes to pray silently, thanking God for who he is and what he has done in our lives, and just for being our God.
The immutability of God, what a fantastic truth this is. Without that, we have no hope. And the apostle, or whoever wrote to the Hebrews, said, when God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for our soul.
Amen.
And I'm glad this evening that I can depend upon what God has said. The immutability of God. He not only gave us a promise, but he set himself in the place of making sure that promise was fulfilled. And in the last year or so, I've gone through various stages of testing, and what a wonderful thing it has been for me to know that the promises are true.
Sure.
Thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Our Father God, we thank you so much for
who you are, for being our Savior, for being our rock, our healer, provider, our standard that we rally around. Lord, we come to you tonight in this concert of prayer where we're able to worship you, something that we're going to be able to do through eternity. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this night. Change our lives, open our eyes so that we can see your plans for the future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive.
This time we want to spend some time thanking the Lord for how the gospel has gone out from this church this summer. And as you notice in section B there, it talks a little bit about the different areas locally where the gospel and good news and help has gone out from this church. And we look at those things and we are just in awe at what the Lord has done through our church all through 4th of July picnic, weekly services, Chambliss Children's Home, so many things where God has worked and has touched our church family. I'd like right now, I didn't tell Fred this, but I wanted Fred to just give an update a little bit. Fred Bennett was in Lake Ann, which is one of the things around the world that you see there. And I would like for him to share a little bit about what God did in the services. He was preaching to juniors at Lake Ann, and also he was in Romania this spring, along with Beth Ann and I, but he was in a different part of the country. But I want Fred just share a little bit, maybe a short testimony, and then we'll go into prayer thanking God. We're going to split into small groups, so in a few minutes I'll ask you to stand, and then we'll just pray together for a few minutes, thanking God for what he's done through his word as it's gone out.
Well, this is twice that I have handed off Selah to her grandma, and I'm just sitting there. This is a Selah service. Stop and think about it in Hebrew, or rest, or meditate. And that's what we're doing on the Lord tonight, in his goodness. It was amazing this last week. It was exciting to be with Brandon, with JB, and with Jake Walton. Jake was the young man that always sat with JB down here, and all three of those guys are just growing, and it was amazing to be around them. Jake was the director of the junior camp that I was speaking at. JB was all over the place. He actually rescued somebody one day on the high ropes, about as high as this ceiling. A rope got caught, and the person needed to be rescued, and he rescued him. I didn't tell his mother that yet. So, Brandon was just all over the place, mentoring counselors and speaking in some of the chapels. What an amazing place. God is all over that place. The Holy Spirit is all over that place. That's a place where people are set apart, and they are ministering when other people are set apart and really need the Lord. We had campers from Chicago, from inner city, kids whose parents had abandoned them, kids whose parents had been killed in violent things and bad things, and they were there for some balm on their soul, and they got it. And I want you to know that this church has had a major impact on that camp through those three guys. And also through our campers and David Prairie going up a few weeks ago. They love David Prairie up there. And they love our people. And that's a blessing. Romania, Bill has let me in on some of the best of the believers in Eastern Europe. They're just a precious bunch. And they just seem like they can't go out far enough with the gospel. And every time we go over, they're going a little bit farther. And they have the same problems that we do. The people at camp do, the people in Romania do, and they have to hold on to the Lord exactly the same way we do. But boy, Harris is sure right. God is so faithful, and He never changes. You never have to wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, how you doing?" He didn't change. We do. And He is so awesome for us to hold on to in these days, and I hope we will.
Shall we stand together? And if you will, find someone next to you, behind you. And we're going to spend the next 5 minutes praying for how the gospel has gone out locally. And if you have your sheet with you, you can use that as a guide to pray for these different ministries. Continue praying about VBS and those kids who heard the gospel this summer.
Thank you.
Pray now for the gospel going out around the world, Alaska, Hungary, Portugal, Angola, Kenya, Puerto Rico, Camp of the Woods, China, Norway, Ukraine, Romania, and Lake Ann. Let's just bring these our hearts of thanksgiving to what God is doing all around the world.
okay? Some of you weren't paying attention. That's why I'm sitting in the back. There's a thought right there. Okay, I'm going to deal with that later. You know, I...
And it's pretty hot, too. It's like melting the carpet. Where you go?
I don't know.
Where?
I don't know how you can see the difference with all the white hair.
It's like melting the carpet.
Yeah. Oh, I got blood, too. It did hit me. I'm not sitting there anymore. I can just tell you that right now. You know, you just never know what's going to happen and everything. A couple things I wanted to do before, when we talk about this last segment of Scripture and everything. One of the things, I would like Jimmy O'Dell, who's here with us. Jimmy had kind of an interesting experience, and the experience he had, not just everybody gets to have that. And I wanted you just to take a couple minutes and to share essentially what God did for you through this experience. And I think that that'll be an encouragement, because we prayed for him through his heart surgery and so forth. So, Jimmy, if you'll do that. I don't know if this is a better place to sit, but I'm going over here. There's a mic right here.
I'll take this off and trust the Lord to take care of me. I just want to say thank you to this church for their prayers. It's been an ongoing thing with us for the last couple of years, knowing that eventually we would either have a heart transplant or we would have stem cell research something done, and the stem research didn't work out. They said I wasn't didn't have enough heart left for that. So they said you'll be in the heart transplant. So back in January or December, they told us that we'd have to come up in January and have a port put in. So I've lost a lot of brain cells as well. But they said it would have to have a port put in, and so we went up there knowing that our prayer had always been that God would have his way in our life, and it didn't matter what it was. And we were never afraid, or I was never afraid. I just knew that God would have his way in our life, and I didn't know exactly how that would be at the time. And as we look forward, we would kind of think, well, don't know why God's doing this or how he's going to work this out, but we trusted him. And I was thinking when he was talking about the attributes, I think he's my salvation. I know he's my salvation, and I know that he's with me. So we went to Vanderbilt for that, and God began to work in ways that we didn't understand. We were supposed to have the port put in the first day. That didn't work. They decided to change and put the medicine in and see if that would work. And then the next day they came in and they said, don't eat. You know, we're going to do the port today, and we'll have surgery sometime today. That didn't work, and it was by accident, I'm sure, but it was God's accident, and God knew exactly what he was doing. And so they come in that night and said, we'll do the port. And then they said, we can't do the port today. We'll let you eat. So we ate our supper, and while we were just finishing our dinner that night, they come in, or they called on the phone and said, we have a heart. And so you can imagine how we felt. We first thought it was a joke. I mean, you know, I don't know who would do that, but we thought it was a joke because we weren't even thinking about a heart at the time. And so they said, we have a heart. And so my wife went out in the hall and asked a nurse to call the doctor, and so she got a hold of him. He said, yeah. He said, we have a heart, and I'm on my way over there now to talk to him about it. And, of course, we had mixed emotions because we knew for me to get a heart, somebody had to lose their life. But I could begin to think about it. You know, God had already given his son for me, and he had given me a new heart back when I trusted him as my Savior. And this time he gave me a literal heart. And from that time on, we've just been thanking the Lord, and you know, we've gone through some ups and downs and everything. But, you know, we knew churches like this and our church and different people were praying for us, and we knew that God had his hand on us. And I was looking at the outline that the pastor has for tonight. It's exactly what I needed, because I knew then that if God gave me this, then I was going to have to be a steward of that heart that God gave me, because he didn't give it to me just to be given it to me. It's something that's not ordinary. Everybody doesn't have that opportunity. But God gave me that, and he's given me an opportunity now to do something for him. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I just know that I want to praise him. I want to give him the honor and the glory and everything for every breath that I take. I thank him for it. I praise him for it. And if he gives me opportunities to be a witness for him, to speak for him, to do whatever he wants me to do, that's what I want to do. I continue to ask you to pray for us, that we would do as a family what God wants us to do, and we'd be right where he wants us to be. But I can never thank you enough for keeping us in your prayers and pulling us through. I know God did all the work. He put the doctors in place, but he did the work, and I have no question about that. Thank you.
Amen. This last segment of this presentation is spiritual gifts and God's vision for the future. And when you begin to look at that, you begin to see some tremendous, tremendous opportunities that God puts in our collective path to really begin to serve and to be involved. This is, of course, the beginning of a new school year. You know, the mom's ministry cranks really back up. The Crossroads Bible Studies, the big sign you see outside on the Awana, the small groups for the youth, for the Sunday school, and for the academy. You know, it's just really quite amazing. A lot of times we don't realize how significant our academy ministry is. If you are a graduate of the academy or have attended Grace, will you stand right now? Okay? And if you're a teacher, keep standing. If you are a teacher, and will you stand as well? And if you are someone who, you know, you're a parent of some, you put your kids at Grace, would you stand? Okay, now you just look around. Now this is just on a Sunday night, that kind of thing. You realize what this means. This is an important, significant ministry that God gives us an opportunity to work with. And so I just wanted to give you that little object lesson to see something of what God's doing. When I thought about gifts, and the guys were, we were talking about this, you know, it's just amazing. I thought about the various gift passages, and I thought about 1 Corinthians, and then I thought about the passage in Romans, and I thought about the passage in Ephesians. But there's one more passage that talks about gifts, and that's over in 1 Peter. And I really think that's really the focus that we need tonight more than anything. Because beginning in 1 Peter chapter 4, the scripture says that we're going to be giving account, and it says, "For this reason the gospel was preached to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Wherefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Now, listen to this next stanza here. "And above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling, and as each of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And I think that what that passage is saying, you know, there's a lot of times we think about gifts, we think about, you know, really interesting exotic explanations and detailed studies and analysis about what my gift is and what I can do and what I can't do, that kind of thing. But in this passage, here is something all of us can do. We can all be hospitable, and we can have fervent love one for another, and that's going to cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. And I think that's, you know, there's a sense in which the scripture really is saying we're cutting each other a little bit of slack. We all need slack, you know, cut to us along the way. And what a brilliant, brilliant picture that God gives us to minister to people. You know, people are looking for people that care and people that will love and will be an encouragement. And there's a lot of needs going on all around us all the time. And so God's giving us that opportunity. So there's a lot of things to look at and to think about. Will you perhaps right there bow and with your spouse or someone close by, will you pray for these new beginnings that we're going to have this year? Pray for these particular needs. Let's take a few minutes to pray for these areas right now.
That's
Receive the offering, and so we're going to ask the men to come. Let me just say that you want to avoid this area over here and this area in the front. So you want to be just careful, and because when the glass was hot, what has happened is it's kind of fused into the carpet at this time. So this is going to be a pain in the neck. So, but anyway, we can win this war for sure. So, Father, for this offering, we thank you for your goodness and your grace to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're supposed to have a quarterly business meeting, and so I'm going to give you a chance to stand, and we're going to do just maybe one chorus, and then we'll start our quarterly business meeting. And I don't know of a lot of exciting things tonight, so I don't think it's going to be super-duper long from that standpoint. Anyway, that's what I promised my wife on the way over here. So don't make a liar out of me. So Fred...
Let's sing, stand with me, let's sing Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God in E-flat. Carmen?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.